So Nathan has asked me to speak this morning about healing and miracles. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is show you this. Because I don't know about you, but when we start to talk about all this kind of supernatural stuff, I feel a complete and utter learner. And I look at other people who are praying for these things and I think, oh my gosh, they really nailed it. And what do I know about all this kind of stuff? But of course, the truth is that wherever we are on our journey with God, however long we've been walking with Jesus, sure, however much we know about this stuff, we're all learners, aren't we? Sure. We're all learners, actually. So I'd quite like to put this somewhere that you can all see it, because I just want to encourage us with that. And we're going to have some L's in a bit as well, so I'll link to my little learner plate. But the first thing I just want to clarify is I've been asked about healing and miracles. And sometimes we ask that question, don't we? Well, what's the difference between healing and miracles? Are they the same? Are they different? And in many ways, they do really overlap, don't they? Healing is when God heals someone from an illness, a sickness, a disease. It might be physical, it might be spiritual, it might be emotional. Miracles, I feel like when God intervenes in the kind of natural order of things and changes something, and we kind of go, wow, we go wow with the healing as well. And a miracle might be a healing. It might be a healing miracle, but it might be something else. It might be the weather. It might be that suddenly a metaphorical door opens or shuts. It might be that we bump into somebody unexpectedly, or perhaps a job opportunity comes along and a door opens there. So it's those unexpected things that happen in our lives. So in a sense, miracles encompasses healing, if that kind of makes sense. So I'm actually going to talk about them together. I'm not going to try and split them apart and work out all the differences. We're going to look at them together this morning. And as Nathan says, we're actually all called to pray for miracles and to pray for healing. So it isn't just for the special few. And in fact, in Luke 9, 1-2, there's this verse where it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases and to heal the sick. So he sent out all 12. You know, he didn't do a little session beforehand. Right, okay, who's got the gift of healing here? Okay, James, John, you, but off you go. He sent them all out to heal the sick. And so we are all sent to pray for these things, to pray for those unexpected things. Now, there may be some people amongst us who do have a specific gift in healing and miracles. And if you are one of those people, please, you know, press into that, because that is a really wonderful thing. Come and talk to me about it, and talk to Nathan or whoever, because I'd really encourage you to kind of press into that. But actually, this is for all of us this morning. Whether we think we've got a gift or not, we're all encouraged to pray for these things. Now, the first ever miracle that was recounted was actually in the book of John, and it's when Jesus turns the water into wine. Now, I've asked Iris to come up, and she's going to kindly read the passage, which is all about the wedding at Cana.
Page 1064, and it's John 2, verses 1 to 12. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, and kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after. The guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went to Capernaum, where his mother and brothers had, and his disciples. Then they stayed for a few days.
Thanks, Iris. That was beautifully read. Thank you so much for that. So, you know, what I love about this particular miracle is that it takes place in the everyday. I know that some temple doing kind of super holy spiritual things. And are they even up a mountain doing a half night prayer? They're at a party. It's a wedding party. And there they are at a party. And you know, it looks, doesn't it, as if Jesus didn't even know that he was going to be doing this miracle. It was all quite spontaneous. It kind of went with the moment, didn't it? You know, weddings in those days would have been pretty full-on affairs. They were kind of week-long festivals that they would have invited the whole town to come along, and to run out of wine was just beyond embarrassing. You know, this would have been planned and planned meticulously, and this was a culture where hospitality was absolutely vitally important, and they'd run out of wine. So there Jesus is at a party, and his mum says, "We need some help." So we're going to have three L's. It's a bit like an Anglican sermon, this one. I don't normally do three-point sermons, but you're going to get a three-pointer today. So we're going to have three L's, all to do with miracles and healing. And the first L is that we should be looking for opportunities in the everyday. And actually, I look at Barry and Bunny, and they have amazing stories about how they have all sorts of opportunities in the everyday. And if you want to learn about that stuff, go and chat with them, because that's how it should be for us. We should be looking for opportunities in the everyday. Now, I don't know about you, but I am always losing my car keys. Anybody else lose their car keys? Is it just me? I don't know. And every now and again, I really, really, really lose them. You know, not too often, thankfully. And car keys, they're really expensive these days, aren't they? You get these sort of zappy things, and it's a couple of hundred quid to buy a new zappy car key. So when you lose one, it's quite stressful. And a few years ago, I lost my keys, and I'm hunting here and I'm hunting there, hours past, trying to look in every, you know, place in the house. Can't find them. And then I thought, oh, I better pray. Maybe I better pray. You know, we always do that, don't we? We can't forget to pray until we really are in a tight spot. And I prayed, and I just had this sense that God was just telling me to look down Bonnie's, but behind Bonnie's bed. And I did. And there are the car keys. I would never have looked behind Bonnie's bed. I don't know how to this day they got there. Another example, Theo, as you know, I wear hearing aids, my son wears hearing aids, and he has used a radio aid at school, and he has used to have little, tiny little silver things attached to his hearing aids. Now, these little things, we've given those for free to use in school, but if you lose one, you have to pay for the replacement. And they're £300 each of these little things. And he came home from school one day, this was quite a few years ago, and said, "Oh, Mummy, I think I've not been thinking you. I've lost a little thing." And, gulp, 300 quid, I'm thinking, flashing before my eyes, at school somewhere. Who knows where? So, actually, we've had a bit of history, Dear and I, praying for things, because, you know, hearing aids do go missing, and over the years we prayed together. So I said, "Okay, let's pray." I did think about praying first that time, that was a bit better. But so we go up to school, and I'm in the school thinking, there is no way I'm going to find this little thing. And we go into his classroom, I thought, well, we'll start there. And the cleaners are bobbing around, kind of emptying bins and clearing up and cleaning stuff. And actually, quite quickly, I was looking around, and I just felt God say, "Look in the bin. In the bin. How can it? His desk is nowhere near the bin. It's by him." Anyway, I look in the bin. Of course, there he is, in the bin. Little miracles in the everyday You know, and it would be easy for me and for us when those little things happen to kind of discount them, wouldn't it? Say, oh, well, you know, I would have found it in the bin. I would have found the keys behind there. And sometimes in our rational Western mindset, we can kind of discount it and not link it to God. But actually, the truth is, isn't it, that God, Jesus, is doing those little miracles in the everyday. There's a Bible verse which I absolutely love, and it says, believe and you will see. And this sense of the more you believe, it didn't say see and then you'll believe. It's believe and then you will see. And the more you believe that is God working in your life, the more you will see what God is doing in your life. It's sort of like a circle almost, and a truly wonderful circle, because God is always up to something. Last Sunday, good example. I don't know about anybody else in our DG group, but I looked at the weather forecast for our barbecue, and it was not looking good. Between 11 and 3, it said rain. What do we have? It wasn't exactly beautiful sunshine, but it was dry. There was some sun. I put my sunglasses on. We prayed, didn't we? And God sorted it out. God is good. Yeah, I was trying to remember if I'd ever prayed or offered to pray to somebody at a party. I don't think I have, actually. But wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't it be cool to be at a party to pray for a miracle and for it to happen? Pretty nerve-wracking, but it would be very cool. You see, Jesus, he wasn't really ready, was he? He was probably having a nice time, I don't know, talking about being a carpenter or what we talked about in those days, when suddenly he was in this situation. He hadn't planned it, he wasn't ready for it, he wasn't prepared, but suddenly he's in the situation. You've got these servants running around in a right old dither. They've run out of wine. Oh my gosh, how are we going to tell the master? And that's how it can be with us. Sometimes we're sitting with a friend, having a chat, and suddenly we're in a situation. Suddenly they tell us, my sister's in an abusive relationship. My cousin's got terminal cancer. Whatever it is. And I don't know about you, but I think, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, how can I help? What can I do? This is what's going on. And then I come to that point that I should offer to pray. I don't want to offer to pray because I don't know what they're going to say, and it might get between our friendship, because it will be awkward, and they could be really embarrassing, and it's all going to be very difficult. And should I? Shouldn't I? Is this just me, or this stuff? You know, somebody I know a few years ago. This happened. We were having a coffee. We planned to have a coffee on this Friday morning, and I met with her, and I could see straight away she was just looking absolutely white as anything, pale, ashen. So we sat down and I said, oh, you know, what's going on? What's the matter? And she said her sister, who was in another country, was at death's door. She contracted malaria in Africa and she'd come back to her home country and the prognosis wasn't good, and actually the doctors didn't think she would last that day. I mean, it was that serious. She was in intensive care or whatever. And my friend wasn't a Christian, and I said, okay, so would you like me to pray? I was thinking that's really the only thing I can offer here. We did. We had a really moving prayer time. And anyway, a few days later, I texted her, you know, how's it going? And she said, it's amazing. On Friday, she moved from death to life. She lived. And she, when I met with her the next time, she said, you know, God saved her. It was because she wasn't even a Christian. She had more faith than me. And she then has subsequently been on an alpha course and would say she now has a faith. So the first L is, are we looking for those opportunities? Are we looking to see what God is doing? The second L is, are we listening? So I love verse 5 in that passage where it says, Mary says to the servants of Mary, do whatever he tells you. So what she's saying is, do whatever Jesus tells you. Mary knows. I don't know how she knows, but she knows that Jesus can sort this situation. Now this is where my imagination goes ahead a little bit. I'm kind of wondering, this is the first public miracle, okay? This is Sally Ann's imagination, it's not biblical, it doesn't say anything wrong. But I'm imagining, maybe in the home, maybe they'd run out of flour, maybe they'd run out of oil, maybe the brother would come in with a gash on his knee and she said, oh, you know, and he touched it and the bleeding stops and the flour comes and the oil comes. She knew, didn't she? Somehow she knew that Jesus could sort this situation out. She didn't know how, but she knew that he could. And this book, Nathan and I have been reading while we've been doing this series, called Everyday Supernatural. Somebody might have asked you, some of you will have heard of Andy Croft. Very good read, actually, very easy to read. And he says in this book that actually the fundamental thing to moving in the gifts of the Spirit is doing what Jesus tells us. Doing what Jesus tells you. So learning to listen and to hear what Jesus is saying, that's a thing in itself. I don't know about you, but for me, I've had to grow in that. You know, I didn't kind of, when I first became a Christian, I didn't sort of suddenly start hearing God or whatever. I kind of had to really work at it, and I've had to learn to tune in to God's voice. And actually, we talked about this in youth last week, and I'm probably going to have to do this without a mic because I've only got two hands. But, in fact, has anyone ever, Irish, you can just kind of hold this up. In youth last week, we were looking at listening to God, and these are some of the things that they came up with as to how God speaks to us. He gives us nudges, praying, pictures, other people, dreams, the Bible, words, nature, God's creation. So God speaks to us through all sorts of different ways, and actually the way he speaks to you will be different to the way that he speaks to me. He will speak to us in his own individual, unique way. Thank you, that's great, Iris. But it's really, really good to intentionally, if you, you know, thinking, what is she going on about hearing from God? What's all that about? To really pray about this and intentionally ask God to help you to hear him. My experience is, it's not probably going to be an audible voice. It probably, most probably won't be writing in the sky. And I think that's sometimes what some of us want, don't we? Often, it's a gentle, quiet whisper. It's a little nudge. It's a sense. And maybe you will get a picture or a word. But in the day-to-day, it's often those things where God is just communicating, talking to us. Because he does talk to all of us. And actually, as you learn to listen to him, that's when you start to feel Jesus' peace. Because you're walking in step with him. You're going where he wants you to go. And even when everything is turmoil around you, you just have that deep peace, don't you? I know some of many of you will know what I'm talking about. Our son is learning to drive. There's a bit of an L plate thing going on here at the moment. And it's hard learning to drive, isn't it? And but one of the hardest things about learning to drive is the clutch. I don't know if you remember learning, those of us that drive, the clutch. You know, that whole thing of, oh, and then, you know, you stall, and this happens, and how far do you pull it up, and it's different in different cars, isn't it, all that kind of thing. And once you get the clutch, you can kind of drive, actually. You might crash the car, but you can actually move it, because you need to be able to do the clutch. And I think learning to listen is a bit like the clutch. It's a really important part of moving forward with God. So if this is something that today you'd like to kind of explore a bit more, then pray about it later. Come and speak to us later. There's two parts to this. There's hearing God, but there's also then obeying God. And that's the slightly less comfortable bit, isn't it? I don't know about you, but you know, often it's, oh, really, God, that way? Oh, with that person? Oh, doing that? Not doing that? Can't we kind of do it my way? But Mary says, she didn't say that. She says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. I can't remember if I've shared this story before, a few years ago when I was working at the charity that I worked for many years, a friend of mine had really, really hurt her ankle. She fell down the stairs, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, she came back to work after 6 weeks, and she was still hobbling around a little bit in sort of flat shoes, and we were just chatting, and she said to me, she said, you know, it's really annoying because I can't wear heels. She's quite an attractive lady, and she wears nice clothes. And I don't even wear heels, but I can't wear my heels anymore. And I, you know, and now in the scheme of things, I'm thinking wearing heels again is kind of not top of the list, is it? But I got that nudge from God. Why don't you pray for her? Pray that she would be completely healed and she'd be able to wear heels again. So, slightly embarrassed, I have to say, I did say, well, look, you know, shall I pray for you? So anyway, we find this little office and all the rest of it, and I prayed a very simple prayer, which is when you're praying with people who are Christians, it's really good just to keep it simple. That's my view anyway. And that was that. And then a few weeks later, she comes bouncing in, and actually rather loudly in front of everybody, says, oh my gosh, My ankle's completely better, you completely healed me. And she looked down, and there she was, in a pair of heels. Well, I don't know who was more surprised than I was, whether it was me or her, but there we are. But I did say to her, I said, no, I didn't heal you. Jesus healed you. And it's really, really important, actually, when we pray these things, that we point it to Jesus. So, firstly, to look. Secondly, to listen. And thirdly, is love. You know, when we pray for people who, particularly if it's healing or a very difficult situation, it can be quite painful. Physically painful, emotionally painful. It may be they've been prayed for many times before and they haven't seen a breakthrough and it's very, very hard for them. You know, maybe something like a healing loss that you've had from birth. Believe you me, you know, I don't always welcome being prayed for that because it's so part of who I am. This is quite complex. When you're praying for healing, and it's really, really important because of that to approach it with love. And sometimes people can feel quite disappointed if, and I'm sure we would all know people who have not lived, perhaps. We've prayed for them and they haven't lived, or the change hasn't happened. The situation has continued. And it's really hard, and we can feel disappointed, can't we? Disappointed with God. And the question, God, do you really love this person? Do you really love me? Why? Why are you not breaking through? And the reality is we live really in the in-between times. We live in between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. And when God created the world in the beginning, it was good. It was all good. There was no pain. There was no suffering. It was all good. And then sin came into the world and kind of stuffed it up, really. And the devil and Satan, it tells us in Revelation, leads the whole world astray. So the whole world has been led astray. And when Jesus came, he brought something of his healing and his life and his forgiveness and hope, and all those things. But of course, he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. And so the Holy Spirit in us means that we do have the authority from God and the power through the Holy Spirit to pray for healing. We have that. But we're still in the in-between times. And there will still be times when we pray for people and they are healed, or the situation does change. And there will be times when we pray and it doesn't. And we have to learn to trust God. Trust God when he does. Thank God when he does. But trust him when he doesn't. To trust him that he knows the big thing. He knows the big plan. He is in control, even when he feels like he isn't. And I'm sure myself and many people here will have had those situations where we've seen God heal. And there'll be times we haven't. And we've had to learn that deeper trust, that darker trust it's sometimes called. So, as we're praying for healing, it's really important as well praying healing in faith, but to also be reassuring towards them that God loves them, that he has a good plan for them. And we ourselves should be praying from a place of love, not from a place of kind of wanting a healing success story, if that makes sense. It should come from a place of love. So, as we do the journey called life, we've talked about looking to see the opportunities. We've talked about listening to Jesus. It's kind of whispering in our ears. And we've talked about loving those that we're praying for. And it's really, really important to remember that when we are praying for these things, it's actually all about Jesus. It's Jesus who is glorified. It isn't about us. It isn't about how we look. And when God does a miracle, people will see God's power and his love in action, and will sometimes believe as a result of that. Not always, it has to be said, but we'll often believe. And so it should always be pointing to Jesus. And I said earlier about the person who said, "Oh, you healed me," and it's really important that I didn't sort of, you know, hear that. I was pointing her to the fact that, no, look, she doesn't know who Jesus is. I didn't really mean anything to her, but it's important that I say that it was Jesus who healed. So, there's lot, There's lots more I could say about healing. But we are in a minute going to have a time of prayer and an opportunity to pray into some of this stuff, okay? And I'm just going to mention now, before we get to, it'll be a few minutes before we get to that point, but you know, if you're sitting there and you're somebody who really needs a miracle, maybe in your life or in somebody else's life, you're going to have an opportunity to get you to come up here or whatever, but to have an opportunity to be prayed for as part of that. So just mentioning it now, because I always get a bit nervous about these things, so you can just get like, okay, and then you can kind of have that whole debate in your head about whether you're going to and all that kind of stuff that we normally do. But so, just before we do that, the ultimate healing is our relationship with God. That is the ultimate healing. And the question for all of us today is, where are we all with God today, I wonder? You know, maybe you're sitting there, this is all a bit new, and Jesus is all a bit new, and the church is all a bit new maybe, and you've still got loads of unanswered questions, which is quite natural, by the way. Christians have lots of unanswered questions as well. But something in you is just wanting to say yes. Something in you is saying, yeah, okay, I want a bit more of that. Something is starting to make sense. And what I'm going to do in a minute is I'm going to pray a prayer from the Why Jesus booklet. And it's a prayer about entering into a relationship with Jesus. And maybe this will be for the first time. Maybe you want to reconnect with God. You see, because being a Christian, and we talk about this quite a lot in youth, it's not about a set of rules. We can often think being a Christian is about a set of rules. Being a Christian is, of course, about a relationship with Jesus. And it is the ultimate relationship. It's a relationship with somebody who is never going to let you down, actually. It is a relationship with somebody who's always going to be there. It is a relationship with somebody who deeply, deeply, deeply loves you in a way that we can't even really begin to imagine. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you kind of just feel you want to say yes as I'm praying it, just obviously hear the prayer, and then at the end, just say amen. I'm just going to pray this prayer for us all. So Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please, Jesus, come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.